We're going to begin with one more intro before we actually start, just so we understand the measurements. I'm going to give you a pamphlet. You're invited to hold on to this pamphlet. This time we're not charging you for the pamphlet. The pamphlet costs money, but we're giving it to you for free. There's a website, 123Torah or torahforme.org, where you can download it for free. Okay, you can rinse that out quickly, but let's have a quick discussion about measurements, and then we'll move forward to our Seder. So we checked our eggs, and our eggs were a volume of approximately 2 ounces. So that's a kibetza. If a kibetza is 2 ounces, so then a revius, the amount that your wine glass has to hold, is an egg and a half, which is 3 ounces, or they say a beitza is 2.2 ounces, so then a revius is 3.3 ounces. Let's look at our pages quickly, and we'll get to the measurements momentarily. I'm skipping page 1. You can read that at your convenience, the preparations for the Seder. On the back of page 1 is page 2. We're skipping that too. You can read that at your convenience. Page 3, I'm also skipping the preps for the Seder. We're running very late. I can't do that. No. You guys will fill it in at your convenience. We're page 4 is the back of page 3. And here we have the mitzvot of the night of Pesach. So our biblical mitzvot are eating matzah. And that's why when we discuss the measurements of how much matzah to eat, so we have to eat a kezayit. We discussed in our last class that there's a discrepancy in the understanding of what a kezayit is, the volume. If you take an average olive, it ends up being half the size of an egg. If you use the linear measurements of the Talmud, you end up with twice that size, meaning the volume of an egg. So for biblical mitzvot, when possible, did you hear that word? When possible, we're stringent and we take the larger volume. So the amount of matzah that we're going to have to eat, if possible, is going to be, we said, the larger volume. We're going to see that. The size of an egg, approximately 2.2 ounces, which we said is approximately 2/3 of a machine matzah. Okay? It's about 1/2 of a hand matzah. That's the size that we're going to eat of biblical mitzvot, like eating matzah. The next biblical mitzvah we have on the night of the Seder is telling over the story. Telling over the story does not have to be with the words of the Haggadah. As a matter of fact, if you really want to tell the story over well, you're not going to use the words of the Haggadah. You're going to tell it in your own words. You're going to talk to your kids. You're going to say, hey, let me tell you what happened. What we're going to try to do tonight is understand the words of the Haggadah, understand them in depth, so that we can see from the words how the story comes out. Most people don't know how to do that. Most people either tell the story in their words or read the Haggadah, but the two don't really meet. We're going to try to understand the Haggadah in depth and understand the story that's really being told by the words of the Haggadah, which is not so obvious, as we shall see. We have rabbinic mitzvot. Mitzvah number 1 is drinking 4 cups of wine or grape juice. I mentioned last night already, I mentioned when we began on Monday night, that you should not drink wine in a manner that will knock you out on the night of the Seder. And even though ordinarily you can hold your liquor, when you come to the Seder, you're coming after a whole day that you haven't eaten, and usually a whole week where you haven't eaten a normal meal. So people make this mistake that the first cup of grape juice, they're very thirsty, and they think they can handle it. And so even if they do half grape juice, half wine, 3 hours later, they haven't yet eaten too much, because the meal doesn't start until 3 hours after the Seder began, and they're knocked out. And every year I have this at my Seder, where at least 3 or 4 guys get knocked out by the wine. And all the guys know how to drink better than me. Okay? I'm not good at drinking anymore. When I was younger, I knew how to drink. Then I stopped, and now I'm not so good at it anymore. And I'm telling you, I handle the Seder. I go till 3, 4, 5 in the morning without a problem. And the guys at the Seder do not. And the reason is because you're coming on an empty stomach and you're going for hours before you can actually dilute that wine. So my recommendation is either do like the Israelis do and take solid grape juice, or if you're going to mix in wine for the first 3 cups, only mix 1/5 of the cup wine, not more than that. Okay? Maror is a biblical mitzvah when you have a paschal offering. So far this year, it doesn't look like we're going to have a paschal offering. So far, we don't have the temple in our hands. So, look, anything can happen. But right now, eating maror is going to be a rabbinic mitzvah, commemoration of what it was in the temple. So then we only have to eat the smaller volume, the size of an olive. You guys know what the size of an olive is. So how much maror are we going to have to eat? Where's my spoon? Should be in the charoset. Okay. How much maror are we going to have to eat? Let's take a spoonful and see. Being that there's a lot of airspace in between, this is not a kazayit yet. Okay, so I'm filling the spoon. And this is almost a kazayit.
What?
Ah, so you say what? Watch.
I can eat it all at once.
You getting convinced yet? Is it half the egg? Is it really half the egg? So it's close to it. It's maybe you could argue this is a kazayit. So you see, because I'm not going to put it back in, don't worry. So that's my point, was to show you how the airspace makes it look big, but it's not really big. So at my Seder, when people ask me to prepare their kazayit, they're not happy. No one asked you to ask me. You're allowed to estimate on your own, but do it intelligently. Understand that the airspace does not count when we're trying to figure out what a kazayit is. Okay? You want to eat it, you said? Bon appetit.
Yeah?
Yeah? Now, I said bon appetit. Enjoy. Okay, next. Next rabbinic mitzvah is reciting the Hallel. Okay, reciting the Hallel. Now, we are not allowed to eat on the afternoon prior to Pesach, gentlemen. We don't sit down for any meal. You can have some tuna fish, get yourself some tuna fish, buy eggs. You could cook eggs, right? But that's about it. Now, what's another mitzvah, rabbinic mitzvah, that we have to recline? Okay? We lean, not like I'm leaning now. This is not called reclining. Shift your chair. You got to lean to the left, not back, but left. Now, lechatchila, you should be leaning on a pillow. It's only if you don't have a pillow that b'di'evit it's kosher to lean like some of you are doing on the chair. Lechatchila, you're supposed to lean on a pillow. When do we lean? When we eat the matzah, when we drink the grape juice, that's when we lean. Okay. Let's move forward. If you shift your chair, it will become comfortable. And with a pillow, it gets more comfortable. Okay, next. We're going to have three matzot. So even though traditionally we use hand matzah, but I don't have three whole hand matzahs here. So I'm going to use three machine matzahs, okay? So we have three matzot here. Why do we have three? We're going to break the middle one, as we discussed on Monday night, so that will do later on in the Seder. So that's lechem oni, poor man's bread. And then we have the other two, which are lechem mishnah. Like every holiday, we have two solid loaves of bread or matzah. Right, but we're going on pshat and halacha. Okay. The Seder. So let's set up our Seder plate and then we'll get back to the measurements. Okay, on our Seder plate, we're going to go in the order of the things we use. So what's the first thing we're going to use is the karpas. Where's our green vegetable, our pepper? Where's the pepper?
On the
Kodesh box. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, our karpas. Now, generally, the one who heads the Seder has a plate and the other people do not. And then he gives out to everyone else from his plate. I would like you each to have a plate, but it's not possible, space-wise or time-wise. Is it really not possible? Let's see, do we have more plates? Okay, set up your own plate. Why shouldn't you? You'll each have your own plate. I can't give you your own bowl of... yeah, I could. Take the cup and put in some salt water. We have enough salt. I bought the whole bag.
Can I go with you?
You can go with me, but I want you to practice. So the first thing we're going to do is the karpas and the salt water. So here's the karpas, the vegetable. Can I have a plastic cup, please? Okay, now here I'm going to have salt water. Okay, so I could dip the karpas in. Next, we eat the matzah. And then after we eat the matzah, we're going to have maror, and And charoset, why do we have charoset? So we discussed that the charoset is to commemorate the mortars and the mortar, and we discussed why that's so important. Marar. Now, the Talmud says that there's something about the marar that makes it very dangerous to eat plain. And therefore, the Talmud says you have to dip the maror into the charoset.
He told me this. He gave it to me, too.
So you have to dip the maror into the charoset, and then you brush off the charoset. You don't eat a sandwich with a lot of maror and charoset. You brush off the charoset so that you eat basically maror. But the dipping into the charoset makes it, dilutes the potency of the maror. Now, we forgot one thing when we made the charoset. You're supposed to pour in wine or grape juice into the charoset, yes? Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, customarily at the Seder, we're like princes, so someone else pours for us. Some have the custom that only for the head of the table someone else pours, but the generally accepted custom in Israel is that for everyone, each one pours for someone else, okay? So we'll put in some grape juice into our charoset. This is, by the way, why charoset goes bad, because of the grape juice component. That's why it needs to be refrigerated and goes bad. But it's good for a day, and it's delicious, and you can make, during the Seder, if you're hungry, not as a guest. In your own home, you can make matzah with charoset, and that's fine. As a guest, most people do not make abundant supplies of charoset, so you shouldn't be discourteous and consume all their charoset on them. You just learned how to make charoset, make your own. But when you're in your own house, like in my house, I make a lot of charoset. And then at the Seder and the next morning, everyone eats matzah with charoset. It's like a nice spread. But when you're a guest at someone's house, so be considerate of the fact that there isn't that much at the table usually. Now,
what if you're allergic to matzah?
If you're allergic to matzah, then discuss it with your local. To nuts, so you can make charoset without nuts. No problem, yeah. Ordinarily, we put sticks of cinnamon on the charoset to commemorate the stalks of hay. But I haven't yet found, in Israel or the United States, cinnamon that's kosher for Passover. So you'll ask me, why isn't cinnamon kosher for Passover? And I'll tell you that theoretically, everything should be kosher for Passover, almost everything, right? But we don't know when they coat things with, for example, a lot of the dried nuts, they coat with flour. In order to keep them dry, they coat them with flour. So then if it gets wet, that becomes chametz. So there are a lot of things like that. I don't know why it's hard to find, but I have never found cinnamon sticks that are kosher for Passover, even recently. But maybe you'll find. Okay, so we have our karpas and salt water. Now, our final two things, we have a roasted piece of meat, which I have in the other room. I'll bring it in a minute. And an egg. Where are the eggs? That commemorates the two sacrifices. The Korban Pesach, which was roasted. So that goes on the right. The more important one is always on the right. And the egg commemorates the Korban Chagiga, which was the offering which was just in honor of the holiday, which was the prime meat that we would eat at the night of the Seder. Okay? So this is one Seder plate. Most people set up their Seder plate like the Arizal, which is slightly different than this, and now it's all Kabbalistic. Okay, so now, let's run forward. We're on page 5, the page that says on top, 4 cups of wine to demonstrate freedom, right? And now let's look down to amount. The cup should be filled to the top. Whenever we make a blessing, we fill the cup to the top. So you're going to get married, and you're going to make a bar pri agafen under the chuppah, and you're going to fill the cup to the top. And then you're going to give your kallah a drink, and some red grape juice will drip on her dress, and she won't be too happy with you. So bring white wine to your wedding, okay? But you fill things to the top. To the top does not mean that every slight tremor of your hand spills the cup. You don't have to do it all the way that much to the top. You do it almost to the top, right? So it feels full. Now, what happens if you're like me, and sometimes you forget to open a bottle of grape juice before Shabbos, and then you come Friday night, and you have about this much left of your grape juice? So what you could do is, you have a minimum amount of a revius. What's a revius? So let's look at our sheet over here, okay? A revius yields either 4.42 ounces or 3.3 ounces. So let's analyze that. Where's our measuring cup?
Muchas
gracias. Thank you very much. Okay. So we want to see how much is 4.42 ounces. So we be educated people, yes? So we know for the future. We have to drink a revius. In order to make a borei nefashos, you have to drink a revius. How much is a revius? Let's look at that. This is approximately 4.42 ounces. Can you pass me a plastic cup, please? Thank you very much. Much pleasure. So, oh boy. That's a lot. That is, let's look at that again. These are small cups, I think.
Can't you talk to the top of the grape juice?
No. I misestimated. Oh, Drega.
No, it's...
I'm sure.
Okay, tonight's the night to ask those questions. Okay, so here you have 4.42 ounces. Now, how big is this cup? This isn't the regular. Can you pass me a glass cup, please? Just so you see it in a different... No, a big teacup. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's look at it here. This is 4.42 ounces, okay? Gentlemen, you see that? So if you drink this in the span of about 4 seconds, you make a bar nefashos. This is, okay, so this is a revius, 4.42 ounces. This is the more stringent opinion of what a revius is, if we go with the higher volume. So your cup of wine tonight at the Seder night has to have this much. Now, one opinion says, let's say you use a cup that's like my teacup here. So your cup has 8 or 9 ounces in it. Yeah, double the amount of a revius. How much do you have to drink? So the basic halacha says you have to drink the majority of a revius, meaning you have to drink 2.1 ounces. How much is that? We all know how much that is. Let's look at that over here. I need another glass cup, please. So that's going to be... Thank you. Let's do... This is for Kiddush, for the Seder, anytime.
2.1 ounces?
That's the amount you have to drink. Okay, so how much is 2.1 ounces? Now let's look over here. Okay? If you made Kiddush, this is how much you have to drink. Your 4 cups of wine, this is how much you have to drink. 2.1 ounces, okay? That's not so much. Elamai, you come to the Seder hungry and thirsty, and you gobble it down, you drink the whole cup. So that's why I say, don't put in alcohol. You're going to drink the whole cup because you're going to be thirsty. I know you. That's the way we all are. We come to the Seder, we're hungry and thirsty. Look, tonight people had dinner and still there was a guy who ate raw horseradish here tonight. Yeah? Wow. Okay? Even if you're not fasting, practically there isn't so much to eat. You can't eat matzah yet. You can't eat charoset before the Seder. You're not supposed to. So what do you have to eat? Potatoes and chicken, fine. You're a lucky guy. You have potatoes and chicken. Most people don't have that. They have a mother who says, get out of my kitchen. I'm in the middle of preparing for the Seder. Okay, so this is the amount you have to drink, 2.1 ounces. That's not a lot. Okay, but there is a more stringent opinion which says you should drink the majority of the cup. Meaning if your cup has more than a revius, then you have to drink more than 50% of the cup. So I recommend, you want to fulfill both opinions, get yourself a cup that has 4.42 ounces. That's it. That's what I have. So then it's very easy for me. I drink more than 50% of the cup, and I've hereby drank more my rove revius, the majority of the revius, and most of the cup, and finished. Now, this sounds like it's not so important, but let me tell you, when you hit that fourth cup, and you've had a good, scrumptious meal, and you've already had 3 cups of grape juice, you're going to have a really hard time downing that grape juice. So it's good to know. This isn't a lot of grape juice, okay? This is what you have to drink from each cup of the 4 kosos. This is what you have to drink from Kiddush, okay? This is what you have to drink. Now, this is not a revius, remember. This is 51% of a revius. You cannot make an after blessing after this. An after blessing, you got to drink double that. That's this much. For an after blessing, you have to drink a revius. Your cup has to house this much. But you only have to drink 51% of this, which is what we saw earlier. Are we clear? Before we have questions, was that clear? Are we all on the same page? Okay, now questions. Yes?
So you can set up Haddah in a way where you don't have to say it after bracha.
Correct. If you drink this much of Avdallah, 2.1 ounces, you're fine. Okay. Very little. You don't have to drink a lot. Yeah, by the end of Shabbos, I usually have heartburn. Yeah. I can't drink RVs of grape juice.
Yeah, I don't like
so that's what I do.
Can one drink independently during a meal, cups of wine?
We will discuss that. During the meal, you may drink. It is not recommended. This is the most exciting night of the year. You should be dancing out of your pants. How could you? You don't want to fall asleep. I'm serious. I'm not joking. No. Gabriel, every other night, do what you want. The Seder night, you owe to yourself, you owe to your kids, be focused, don't drink. It's not a night to be drinking wine, no. Yeah, permissible? Yes, during the meal it is permissible. It's not recommended. I would say keep the eating and drinking to what's a balanced amount so it doesn't put you to sleep. I dance with the kids. The kids from age 4 or 5 in my house, of their own volition, don't go to sleep. It's such an exciting night that the 5-year-old is dancing around the table with us, singing with us, because you got to make it that. Now, you're not going to be able to make it that if you're tired because you just had a full stomach of steak and who knows what else. I hope you have wonderful food at your Seder. But you still shouldn't be. That's not the time for it.
Yeah, are you going to teach us how to make it exciting?
What?
You can teach us how to
we're going to do that in a minute. Okay, I just want to finish understanding the halachot, and then we're going to start the Seder, the actual model Seder, okay? Okay, so we discussed the Revius. Now we discussed how much matzah, how much volume of matzah we have to eat, and we discussed how much volume of maror. Are we clear on all that? We'll quickly recap. Technically, a kazayis is the volume of an olive. The volume of an olive is half an egg. An egg is, let's say, 2 ounces, 2.2 ounces, so a zayit is 1 or 1.1 ounces, not so much, right? That's half of this much water. Half of what I showed you before, I showed you 2.2. That's even less than that. That's the volume of a zayit. Being that we have that discrepancy between the linear measurements and the volume measurements, so we say maybe our eggs got smaller, maybe our olives got smaller, maybe their size of an olive was our size of an egg, their egg was double our egg. So on biblical things, we're stringent. Matzah is biblical, so we eat the size of 2 eggs of matzah, which is about 2/3 of a matzah. A maror is rabbinic, so you can eat the size of an olive, that's about 1 ounce, right, of maror. I showed you what that looks like. You know what the size of half an egg looks like, right? Just picture this egg, now that we know this is 2 ounces, and half of this volume, okay? That's what you have to eat for a kezayit on rabbinic things, okay? And that's our halachot in a nutshell. Are we done? Can we begin the Seder? Any more questions? Okay. Yes, questions? No. Okay. So let's review what we have in front of us. We have karpas, a vegetable. We have salt water to dip the karpas in. We have charoset and maror. If you will have people at your Seder that come with cell phones, so then you can ask them out of politeness to remember before Yom Tov to put it on silent. I have people at my Seder who come with cell phones sometimes. On Pesach, so we had a guy who said, "You can't give me wine, I have to drive home later." So it wasn't so comfortable sitting at the Seder that moment. I didn't know he was planning on driving home at the end of the Seder. But okay, I was happy he came to the Seder, right? At least he's learning what a Seder should be. So, in a nutshell, yes, being that we're trying to make this a model Seder, If any of you have cell phones with you, do as I did and turn them on silent. Okay? Let's try to get the atmosphere in here. You should all be dressed in your nice clothing for the Seder. We put out our silverware. We wear our nice clothing. And us Ashkenazim wear kittels. Some Ashkenazim do not wear it the first year they're married, only afterwards. Okay? So kittel is this white thing, which is supposed to be a very simple garb in which a person gets buried. And one opinion is we wear it to remind ourselves when we have all our silverware out, we shouldn't get too full of ourselves. Here we're acting like we're big shots, so we remind ourselves, hey, one day I'm going to be dead. And the other opinion says that this is part of the honor of the Seder. I'm wearing a nice garment, a nice robe, in honor of the Seder. Two opposite opinions, why we wear it. Okay, are we ready? Gentlemen, can we begin? Can everyone please take a goblet? I would like you to quickly measure in your cup. Let's get clean water in here so people are comfortable with it. And I want you to measure in your own cup so you can see what is a revius in that cup.
Have these been washed?
I don't know if they have been washed.
Take one time.
Okay, so let's...